नमस्कार। Today, I will speak about sadhana. There are many different forms that people use to relax the mind and to access deeper knowledge and direct experience of the numinous. These different techniques do not always yield the same results. Those techniques that emphasize working with the thought process will yield slightly different approach and result than those techniques that emphasize working with the feelings and heart. Both have their advantages and disadvantages, and some may be more suited for one type of personality or another. Those that work with mindful awareness of one's thought, scanning the body, being aware in Vipassana practice, and in mindful meditation, being aware of one's thoughts, one's environment, increasing awareness to the point where in that awareness the totality of being begins to emerge. This can be a powerful technique for certain types of personalities. The danger of the technique is that it will bring a person to a plateau within their own thinking and mental structure and will not allow them access to their feelings. In this technique, the mind is used to analyze the mind, to use a series of mental exercises or simple awareness to bring calm and peace in the mind. And the technique tends to bring that calm, that peace, that diverging from irritated mind into very simple presence. And a person doing this may become very aware, very present, have a sense of awareness apart from the objects of awareness. In this sense of awareness comes the universal nature of consciousness apart from thought and experience. This is a profound realization, but it remains for many, for most, in the mental sphere. And in this mental sphere, there is intellectual understanding. There is peace and calm. But the deeper experience of the infinite and the numinous still evades. Only those who go very deep transcend the mind into the greatness of the infinite. The strength of this technique is that it calms the mind and brings intelligent understanding of awareness, of consciousness, apart from experience, thoughts, and being. It trains the mind. The difficulty with it is that it is challenging to move beyond the mind to that which is that divinity at the core of being. For this, the feelings and the heart, the love, must open. The focus must come from the mind to the heart. In the paths of bhakti, the ideation upon the image, often a deity or guru, comes to being, and the person gains great love and devotion for that particular form of the divine, and thus opens the passion of the heart. The problem with this path is that it is essentially, until its final stages, a path of duality. And when the mind is not also trained in right understanding, a person may come to believe the God is outside of themselves, embodied in an image, and that they themselves are separate from the God. And they may have difficulty to merge the two into one and to recognize the God in all forms, in all beings, and in no form at all. But for those who dive deep into the path of the heart, the wisdom and truth that is natural in existence comes to them, and they learn the knowledge from the divine source. And then the mind gets trained, and when the mind is trained and the heart is full, then a full, deep comprehension, a full, deep experience of the numinous, of the great, can come easily. And so, for those who truly follow the path of bhakti, this comes when the heart is given completely, when there is absolute surrender. Then knowledge comes, as well as love. And the devotee realizes the God they worship is not simply the form before them, but lies in themselves and in all other beings, and has no form at all and all forms. Then the devotee sees the true face of God, sees the one unitary whole. And so these two paths lead slowly to the core, but in very different ways. And for many, stop along the way. And in that stopping, do not look similar. Only in the full realization do they remain the same. When the path of the mind is combined with the path of the heart, then there is maximum progress. But they do not easily combine in all personalities, for spiritual realization is not the same path in different personalities. There are some personalities who are so inclined to spiritual life that merely to be a little exposed to a little devotional music or to say the names of God, their mind will go into divine ecstasy. They are so naturally inclined to that divine experience. But for the majority of people, they're wrapped in the world around them, in their family, in their jobs, in their responsibilities in the world, in the relationships they have to others, in the conflicts and struggles, the need to support themselves financially, to get their needs met economically. All of these things occupy the mind completely. And so the person may think, I need to meditate, I need to calm my mind, I need to realize the God. But their life is so involved, it is difficult. And so for such personalities, there is a need for the calming of the mind, the setting of a discipline, and at least to carve out a little time that is not engaged with all of these activities and involvements. But that is very difficult, because when the person sits for sadhana, they think of all these things. So for those individuals, the mind must be worked with. There must be visualization or a mental exercise to quiet the mind. And then a practice to work with the breath, with repetitive sound, mantra. Until the mind can settle. Or to do the practices of body scanning, or to do awareness practices. These form the same thing, to quiet the mind. Once the mind is quiet, then the sense of the numinous can rise in the mind. And when sufficient interest is there, then the person may begin to feel a heart feeling for the divine. When the divinity is touched, when there is sufficient surrender, that the grace of the Sadguru, that divine presence, comes and touches the heart and mind of a person, then a certain realization occurs. The person feels they have experienced something beyond anything else in the world. And they experience from that point forward a total dedication of heart and mind. They may become forgetful of it in the events and exercises of the world. It may not always be on the surface of their life, but it consumes the core of their being. For that, it is the grace of the Sadguru that touches the mind and heart of one seeking truth, and thus touching them, they are never the same, because there is the direct experience of a consciousness, an existence far beyond their individual sense of self, something that they are a part of, melt into, but is so vast, so great, it is beyond description of words. Thus, in many religions, that one God is called he, she, who cannot be named. For there is no name, no word that can describe that one. For that one is infinite beyond any definitions. When this grace comes, whether it be to one following the path of the mind that requires no belief in a god or a higher entity of any type, or whether one follows the devotion to a guru, a god, a form of the infinite, when that grace of that numinous, omnipresent being falls upon the devotee, falls upon the inquirer, everything changes. Therefore, such people become dedicated. Their inner hearts take the hue of love. For once having touched, even once, that greatness, it is so profound that a being, a person, cannot begin to express the depth of that experience, the depth of that touch, the knowledge of something immense, vast, a love so deep that all else is simply a minor reflection. After this touch, this realization that comes, and with it the dedication to service to Lord, or for those who have no understanding of Lord or God, but follow the path of the mind into quietness and stillness, there is an awareness of an immense vastness, even called an emptiness. But it is so profound, so still, so immense, so unconditioned, that once touched, it instills dedication. experienced differently than those who feel the sense of Lord, but a different feel may be there to the vastness of the infinite. But it is the same God, the same one eternal being, the same one awareness, the same one consciousness, the same one infinite divinity. And as the surrender grows deeper, those two experiences come closer until love is knowledge and knowledge is love. Nothingness is everything and everything is nothingness. Light and dark meld into each other. One eternal existence, one love, one truth, one being. So whether you are a Jnana Yogi, a non-dualist, a bhakti, a tantrika, it doesn't matter in the end. When there is only the one eternal, infinite, undying, immortal existence, self, Lord, divinity, truth. There are times on the path when doubt enters the mind, when the struggles of life are overpowering, when the dark night of the soul comes to the surface, when it seems for all you have done, what is there? But this, if it should occur in the path to truth, is a sign of great progress. And when it happens, the search, the real truth, cannot be found in the mind, in the beliefs. It can only be found in the direct experience. That is where ideas become reality, where all beliefs and constructs are put to the test, and there is only surrender to the One to become one with knowledge, with truth, with love eternal. Do you have any questions? regarding the path of sadhana?
Baba, what is the best way to teach others on the path of sadhana?
To avoid dogma. To look at the personality and the disposition of the person. To see what they need. You have been taught a set of practices to teach. Those are the practices you teach. But how you teach them depends on the person you are teaching. To look with a compassionate heart at the disposition of the person, their life, their mental state, and give them the practices so that they may liberate the mind and the heart. But also to teach them knowledge that they might have right understanding. When you teach, if you really want to develop the student, it is an ongoing relationship, not a one-time give them a practice and send them on their way. For most people, it is very difficult to maintain the practice and the path of truth is challenging. They need ongoing guidance. They need someone who will look after them, understand their pain, their struggle, and guide them. Let them connect with the Sadguru so that they can feel the inner guidance as well. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it helps. Thank you.
All right.
Great.
Namaskar.
Thank you. Namaskar.